The prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter number 40, verse 27 through 31. You got to push your way through this thing. Got to push your way through. Do you ever feel like everything and everybody is against you? And the truth of the matter, if they just take the time to understand where you're coming from, they'll understand that you're looking out for them. Do you ever run across things, situations with your children, and they want one thing and you don't want them to have that because you know what's in their best interest, and they still fussing and fighting, and you discover that in order for me to fix this situation, I'm just going to let this crazy have what he wants. And then you get what you want and you discover, I don't want that. But that's what you've been praying for. That's what you've been asking for. You see, we have to realize that God, our Father, His first job is to be a protector of mankind. And so sometimes God doesn't just protect us from the world or from people. Sometimes God has to first protect us from us. Because we can do crazy all by ourselves. We can do that. All of us. We can do that. And so sometimes what we think we need, God is saying, if I gave that to you, I'll mess you up. And so God is thinking in terms of stewardship. And that is, when I release it to you, you have to be in a place where you can manage it. Okay? And so when God gives you something, He says, well, you're already there, so you can manage whatever it is that I'm releasing to you. And so when God gives a thing, He expects for us to be faithful with what He's giving us. Amen. Now, God gives us wisdom. He gives us talent. He gives us treasure. He even gives us time. And so God is saying, everything that I give to you, I want it back. Because it's really not yours. It belongs to Him.
Right.
And so if it belonged to Him, He has a right to ask of me to do it the way that He wants me to do it.
Uh-huh.
Remember, everything that you do in life is for the glory of God.
Right.
Let me say that again. Everything that you do in life is for the glory of God, not your comfort.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, that's where we get messed up. Because when we begin to go through something, we'll tell God it doesn't feel good. And God is saying, but just stay there. You're going to push your way through this thing. And then God is going to be glorified on the other end.
Uh-huh.
Now, if I'm in Him, He's in me. We're abiding together. When God is glorified, God is going to also deliver me. And what I've been asking for, He'll do the thing for me, because my prayer was, God, let your will be done.
Uh-huh.
Now that's the problem that we have with prayer. And so James says we pray amiss, because we begin to pray and ask God for something that is not in His will. And so if God doesn't do the thing, then we think something is wrong with God, and God is saying something wrong with you, because you didn't ask me for what I told you to ask me for. You didn't ask me for what I created for you to have, so you're doing your own thing. See, when you pray, your prayer is, God, I'm spending time in your presence, and I hear in the spirit what you're saying to me. So my prayer is not to surprise God with anything, because we can't. My prayer is just to say to God, I acknowledge what you said to me. When I say back to God what God said to me, God is now in a covenant agreement with me, and He must do it. You want to put God in a position where God doesn't have a choice? Call His word.
Amen.
Because whatever He said, He says, my word will never turn void.
Uh-huh.
So if you want God to do something, grab your little Bible, open your Bible up, and say, you say it right here. And he says, okay, you got me. I got to do it. Because I said. See, God is a promise-keeping God. Not like us. I don't feel like dealing with you today. I don't feel like this. God says, it's not about feeling. Because it's about an agape love. Unconditional love. I wish we could get there. I wish I could get there. I wish I was in a place where I can love people in spite of all the time. I wish I was in a place and I was mature enough where whatever somebody did, it really didn't bother me. But that's not who we are. We have to strive to get there. Now, just because we're not there doesn't mean that we give up and just say, oh, I'm not going to make it. So just forget it. See, that's what we have to do is we have to push our way through it.
Yes.
You got to keep going.
Yes.
And so the prophet Isaiah, he begins to write, and what he's writing about is the children of God that is in captivity. Mm-hmm. And that sounds kind of weird. Like, how can I be a child of God? Jesus died on the cross.
Uh-huh.
I'm free, but I'm in captivity.
Yeah.
It just seems like, do you ever stop sometimes and you just think about the things that God does and or allow to happen? It seems like God like a crack joke sometimes. You ever feel that way? It's like, okay, God, that wasn't funny to me. Not what I just went through.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't funny. Why didn't you move when I opened the Bible and said, do this? See, because there's still a process. Remember, God is trying to mature us.
Uh-huh.
See, in the Bible where it talks about, you know, Job was an upright man and on and on, it's never said that Job was a sinless man. It dealt with the word perfect, which has to do with being mature. That's it. Just mature. Keep that word, mature. Because we're going to come back to that word. Now, what we're going to discover is that when we go through some things, we can act a fool. We can act childlike in the midst of going through something. And you, what does a child do? They just kick and scream because they want their way. And so if you don't give the child away, they just act crazy until the mom or the dad says, that's enough. And you take that belt off and you put it on his butt. I don't care if it's in the grocery store. I don't care if it's where it is.
Amen.
You put it on him. And then when you put it on his butt,
Amen. Then
he get it. All of a sudden, then he don't want to cry no more. Because he know you're not joking now. And so sometimes when you be kicking and screaming and God says to us, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to remove myself for a second. I'm going to allow you to go through something. And I'm going to allow you to hit the wall that you choose to hit. And so here's the children of God that is in captivity. They are in captivity, and while they're in captivity, somebody comes to them and then they want to give them a word. Don't you hate it sometimes when you're going through something and instead of just wrapping your arms around them, just love them, they just want to give you a word. I got a word. I know the word. All I need right now is a hug.
Uh-huh.
All I need right now is to know that you feel me. I believe in the word. I know the word is healing. I know the word is power. See, but sometimes you have to try to discern through the Holy Spirit to meet people where they are. Okay?
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is give people what they need, not what your little self-righteous self think that they need. Because I've been through that. I know what you need. No, you knew what you need.
That's right.
But you don't know what I need.
All right.
I'm mature enough to say, this is what I need. You know, it's kind of like being in a relationship, and you keep telling somebody, do it like this, and they keep doing it like that, and you say, but I like that. But that's not what I like. See, in a relationship, all parties, everybody involved, has to be happy, has to be satisfied. And so when we learn that every day we have a responsibility to seek after one another and to satisfy one another, then we begin to understand the agape love. And the agape love is that today I want to love you more than you love me. So every day, that's my attempt. Now I understand that our love will fall short in comparison to God, but boy, I'm going after that thing. See, remember it now. Here we are talking about captivity, and now we're talking about love, because love covers a multitude of sin. On this earth, you will fall short. On this earth, you will offend people. On this earth, we have to learn how to forgive, because Because most of the time, what you're holding against a person, they're moved down the street and they don't know that you're sitting there still crying and bickering about something. And so you sit there, I'm going to get them back. And you talk to yourself for 15 hours and the person going to have a good time. They don't even know it. That devil is a lie. That devil is a lie. So what we have to learn to do is to forgive. Now, sometimes we think that we have the right to hold something. Uh-huh. And so if you think that that person offended you, so I have a right to be angry, and then that anger tears you up on inside. This is affect them. It tears you up. Yes. But when you forgive, you say, you know what? I'm releasing this thing.
That's right.
When you begin to release something, then God is in a position where then God can get something to you. Uh-huh. But as long as you holding on to something, God is saying it's too much in your hand.
Yes.
It's too much in your hand.
Yes.
And so God will send us through the process, and in the process, He'll begin to strip stuff off of us. Mm. You know that bad relationship 15 years ago? Why are you still dealing with that? You know what he said and she said 3 months ago? Why are you still dealing with that? You know you had to file bankruptcy? Why are you still dealing with that? You know you had some issues in your credit? Why are you still dealing with that? And so God begins to chip stuff. And so as God begins to chip stuff away, what we have to understand is that our load is getting lighter. Now all of us come with baggage. All of us come with baggage. That's all of us. Because we are our past experience.
Mm-hmm.
In part, that's who we are.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm a child of God with a mind. So you remember what happens.
Yep.
So we can't get super holy. But what we have to do is we can't let those thoughts control us. Right. And so the Bible says, be not conformed. Don't you do what your thoughts are telling you to do. So be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. You got to change the way that you see things. Okay? And the only way that I can see things and it makes sense is in comparison to this. This must be the standard. If we look at somebody else and they become our standard, we fall short because they're falling short. But when we compare ourselves against the Word of God, we understand all of us fall short. But grace lifts us up. Grace. That's how we're saved. By grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Unearned, undeserving. God just gives it to you. And so if God is giving you grace, or giving you or delivering you from anything through grace, when you get to the other side, because you put nothing in it but receiving His grace, He has a right to His glory. That's His right. Because it was Him and you that went through the process. So He says to the people that are in captivity, listen now, He says in verse number 27, He says, why sayest thou, O Jacob? O Jacob. See, notice He says to him, what are you saying? Why you say that? Just words. Because if you had a relationship with me, it would not be about what you're saying, but what you're speaking. What's the difference? One is sound, one is authority.
Yes, sir.
Okay? So stop saying, I'll never make it, it'll never be better, it'll never change. Because when you release that sound, your words capture a spirit. And so the words now become alive. So what you say into the atmosphere, release it to the atmosphere, that becomes your life. So if you don't like what's going on in your life, be careful what you say. Be careful what you're declaring. And so He says, Jacob, you have no relationship, so you're just talking. But once I bring you into relationship with me, He says, now you can speak a thing. So He moves to point number one, which is pressure. And that is, all around us every day, things will always come and always bombard us. It's just life. We'll always feel the pressure of life. And things come from all directions. You know, when it's good, it's good. But when it's bad, the car won't start, the baby won't shut up, and the job, everything. It just seems like everything from all directions. And so we have to understand that when pressure comes upon us, the purpose of that pressure is so that God can raise a standard.
Yeah.
Remember he says, when the enemies come against you, he says, I'll raise
a standard.
Yeah. In other words, they'll come, but I'll put this wall between you and them.
Yes.
And so even though they're coming, there's nothing that they can do.
Yes.
So the pressures that we go through in life, we go through those things, we endure those pressures in life because we drop our wall. Your wall must be a wailing wall. Prayer.
Yes.
Prayer. See, prayer has the power to push your enemies away. And so whenever the pressure comes, always pray and tell God, God, this is what you said. I'm simply repeating back to you what you said.
Your word.
And so he says, my way is healed. My way is healed. In other words, he's saying, I'm going through something and God, you tend not to understand where I am. But in essence, in saying that my way is hid, what he is saying is that now I find myself under situations, under circumstances, under the opinions of people, under the task, under this. And so when you begin to walk in life and you find yourself under things, God says, I need for you to flip the script on that. Because I gave you dominion and power over it. So the very thing that is holding you, God is waiting on us to exercise the authority over the thing. So therefore, he says, you have to speak to things. As though, or when you begin to speak to things, understanding they're not there yet, but you begin to speak as though they are. Okay? And so when you begin to speak, people begin to look at you and say, now, that will never happen that way. It'll never happen for you that way. But I know what God has shared with me. And so it's okay if you don't see my vision, you don't see my dream, you don't believe. That's okay. And that's your opinion? Cool. Now, what I look like trying to explain to you what God said to me when I don't even understand it. And the little bit that I do understand it, I'm afraid of it. And chances are, it's not really what I asked for. So here we are trying to explain something. Always remember, faith must be followed. It can't be explained. If you can explain what God is saying and what God is doing in your season all the time, then it doesn't require faith. God push you out into a never-never land. Nothing you understand. It's dark, you in the valley, on the back of the mountain, and now God says, do this. With what resources? What buy a car? With what? You got to just go down there and just fill out. Come on, God. And so sometimes God will push you. And it appears crazy. But he'll take the wise things. See, he'll twist it up. Because to us, it seems like that's foolish.
Yes, sir.
But
yes,
he says to me, if you trust me, that's wisdom. Wisdom. He says, I want you to trust me to the point where you'll allow me to make a fool of you. Can I really have my way with you? Can I really ask you to do something and you say, I don't know about that, God. Can we talk? No, I want to talk. I want you to do this. Think about the story of Abraham. He gets his son and he carries his son up the mountain and, you know, it's like, okay, where is the offering? Lord, who provide? And so here he is walking with his son. Sees nothing. And he's walking. But he has a willing heart that whatever God says, I can trust His word.
My God.
I wonder if you're there tonight. God, I may not understand it, may not feel good, but whatever you say, I can trust your word. Because I know that your word has me.
Yeah.
Your word can hold me.
Yes,
nothing else but your word.
Yes,
and then when you find that you get to the destination, there is a ram in the bush.
Yes. Yes.
But only when you get there, you gotta push your way through. You'll never see the ram on the bottom of the mountain. You got to climb your way through some things.
Uh-huh.
You got to scratch and you got to crawl. You got to get there and you got to keep working. And as you begin to work and as you begin to move forward, every step you take, God revelates a little bit more of Himself. But He's not going to show you the 10th grade until you first pass the 9th. So every step you take, then God begins to move things. What we want God to do is, God, show us the beautiful end. Show us how we come through. He says, no, man, we're going to have some rough nights before we get there. We're going to have plenty of tears before you get there. We're going to have a lot of time together before we get there. And so God begins to walk us through things because He wants us to go through the process. Now, notice He says something very interesting to them. And what He says to them, He says, listen. He says, has I not known? Has I not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord. Notice that. You see the first, the Lord? What He's saying is that I have authority over all this. Because what we have to understand is that there is one Satan, but there's plenty of demons. Okay? And so the demons are part of Satan's army. So He says, I am the Lord. He, in essence, is saying, I am the general of my army. Guess what? You're part of that army. See, it's a spiritual warfare.
Yes, sir.
You keep trying to line up your little earthly things to safeguard. If this happened, then I got this to fall back on. If this happened, I have that to fall back. And God is saying, I'm going to take you through something, and none of that is going to work.
My God.
Has your bank account ever been good, but your health went bad?
What you say?
And none of that matters.
Right?
Has life ever been okay with you, and then all of a sudden somebody gives you a bad report, and the thing that you thought that you would need to sustain you, you could not use it?
Jesus!
See, God knows where He's taking us. And every step, what God is doing is putting us in a position to trust Him more. Listen, He giveth power to the faint. In other words, He says when you're going through something, sometimes you'll fall short, but I'll give you power.
Yes.
And that power, He says, now you come into a place of soaring. Okay? Now notice I'm saying soaring, because the reason I'm saying that, I'm not saying to you to maintain. I'm saying when you go through something is when you grow. That's when you get higher.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Plants only grow in the dark. Plants only grow when there's some water, something trying to come over it. Why do you think you're going to grow in God when everything is just sunny all around you? It's not going to happen. See, that's why God says all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. They all work together. This had to happen so that that can happen. That had to happen over there. You had to experience a hater back there. You had to experience a liar over here. And the rejection over there. And the depression over there. All of that stuff just goes into a pot. And He says, all that's going to work out. All of that. It's going to work out. You know, sometimes it's the winter months and you look at soup and the soup really doesn't look good. But it is good and it's good for you. But you got some of that and some of that, some pain, some lies, some rejection, some all of that in the soup. And once you put it all together and stir it up with the Holy Spirit, it's good for you. May not look good, but He says it's good for you. So He says you have to then soar. You have to come up above your situation. See, because he's already given us power, dominion, authority over it. You got to come above it. Well, how do I come above something that is wearing me out? Turn it loose. You want me to do what?
Yeah.
I'm sitting here telling you I'm struggling with it, and you say turn it loose. It's hard enough for me to hold it and control it, and you want me to turn it loose? Yes. But what if? So? By the way, how well are you doing holding it? How's that working for you? Because you're still going through it.
Uh-huh.
You're still experiencing the pain.
Yes, sir.
So why not try Jesus right there? See, God wants us to fly above the things, like eagles. That is, he wants us to stretch. He wants us to stretch. So everything that you've been through in life was just your little nest to get you ready to fly.
Yes.
Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. What God has in store for you.
Yes.
What God has in store for you. From the beginning of time, God thought about you. He fashioned you. He formed you. And when he did all that, he says, I have destiny. I'm taking you somewhere. I'm taking you somewhere. But God, it doesn't seem like I'm going to be able to get there. See, God never takes you straight there. He likes to go behind the mountain. He likes to go way down in Egypt. He likes to go over the mountain, go through the valley. And we're going through the valley. It gets cold in the valley. It gets dark in the valley. And sometimes you get alone in the valley. And there's God just sending you by yourself. And you say, I used to have a lot of friends. Where are they now that I'm going through the valley? And God is saying, but I'll be your only friend going through this. And I'll never leave you. And I'll never forsake you. If you can trust me in the valley, on the mountains, down anywhere, I'm still God all by myself. You see, the soaring is, it has nothing to do with the physical thing. It has to do with the lifting of the spirit man. The lifting of the spirit man. And so we have to rise above our situation through our spirits. And so when we begin to rise above that, then we have to understand that God says this. He says, even the youth shall fail. Now understand this. When he says that, in 2013, you look at young people who are strong people, but going through something, they act a fool. Adolescence. I told you hold on to a word. The word was maturity that I talked about earlier, right? So it's not that the power gets you through it. It's the mindset. It's the attitude that gets you through it. See, it's not by power, but by mind. See, he's going to do this thing. And so we charge at something and say, I'm young and I'm in good health and my checkbook is good and this, that. And God is saying, none of that. I'm going to change your mindset.
Yeah.
And so as he began to take us through something, he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary. And the young men shall utterly fall. But they. When are you going to understand that they are you? When are you going to have a they moment? I know what's going on out there, but I'm a part of this they in here. So I'm going to give him some praise in spite of what's going on out there. When are you going to have a they moment where the whole world is against you, but you say God is right here? When are you going to have a they moment where everything out there looks real bad, but in his presence I understand God is still doing a thing? When are you going to allow God just to do something inside of you? And he says in closing, but they that wait. Now, it seems to me, you know, because it just seems to me like waiting means sit down, be still, and please don't say anything.
My God, my God.
That's waiting. But what God is saying is that when I say wait on the Lord, what I'm trying to get you to understand, I thought this was so powerful. It's a position of expectation. So he says, while you're waiting, Your spirit man is expected.
Hallelujah.
But how can your spirit man expect something if you never ask for something? So before you can wait on him, you got to spend some time with him. If you spend time with him, then I can wait. The old folks are sending up my temper because I know I already prayed about that thing. I can go and shoot some hoops. I can go play baseball because I'm waiting in expectation because I already said to God what God said to me. I'm mature enough to believe that God is going to do exactly what God is going to do. And so now I can wait on the Lord. I can wait on the Lord. See, that's the maturity. You get it? That's the process. He walks us through things. He allows the pressures to come. When the pressure of life comes, and then we find ourselves dealing with pressure, he says, don't go under the pressure. He says, now you have to understand you got to soar. You got to rise above that. And then the H is hope. For they that wait on the Lord shall. No, I didn't tell you to doubt that. I said shall. Now hope is, it seems like, you know, from a definition, that hope is that, well, I kind of want that thing. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about, now faith is the substance of things
hopeful.
That kind of hope. Where I have a blessed assurance that it's going to happen. See, what we have to understand about faith is not a belief. Faith is from the Greek word pistis. It means persuasion. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I'm persuaded God will never leave me. I don't care what's going on. I don't care how many bills is past due. I don't care who acting crazy. I am persuaded. And see, that persuasion must be connected to a person, and that person better be Jesus Christ. It better be Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Put your faith in no man.
Amen.
In nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. But Jesus. When you put your faith in him, he is also faithful. And so as you expect him to do something, he's sitting there saying, if you have the heart and the faith to expect that, I'm going to do it. Because you decreed it and you declared it, I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Because you put me here.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah.
Trust me.
Yeah.
Trust me. Nobody but you, God. Mm-hmm. And he says, that's exactly where I want you to be. Nobody but him. Listen, we all going through something tonight. We all deal with things. But if you put your faith in him, he'll deliver you. Take your little weak hand, put it in his hand, and say, God, I need you to lead me through this. And so God begins to lead us through the thing because we put our hand in his hand. And he says, now, you may faint. So even though you walk in and you hold in my hand, you may slip and fall. Uh-huh. But he says, then I'll carry you through the thing. You see, God has a purpose for your life. And when God has that anointed purpose in your life, listen to me. You can't even mess it up. You can't even mess it up. You're all in the nightclub and you can't even dance no more. You can't even mess it up.
My God.
You're trying to lie on somebody, but you end up prophesizing over their life. You can't even mess it up. You're trying to set up a roadblock for somebody, but you end up saying, I'm just going to bless them anyway. Because you can't even mess it up. That's why your Bible says that your salvation is sealed.
Thank you, Lord.
Sealed.
Thank you, Lord.
Sealed. Don't look at it every day. Because there are some moments that it won't feel like it's sealed at 11:59. But you got to look at the big picture.
My God.
He got you.
Yeah.
He got you.
Yeah.
You got to push your way through the thing. Have you been blessed tonight?